Hey, this is Tim McKernan, and I am here with Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, and I have been a longtime Design Air client. What separates you guys from everybody else?
It's becoming more common for companies to just get their foot in the door. They try to come up with different ways to upsell. They try to see how much they can make off of a customer as opposed to, hey, we're in there to do a service. We're going to do it well. We're going to do it for a fair price.
I don't know how many emails I have received from our listeners who experienced the incredible customer service Design Air Heating and Cooling provides. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling online at designairservice.com.
I guess it's the sickest Ween Wednesday in the history of the show.
Feels like it.
Welcome back to TMA, presented to you by Brown and Crouppen. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. On my right is Doug Vaughn. On my left is Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies.
Hansi. Good to see you, Hansi.
Hello, folks. It's such a pleasure to be in studio.
It's the Schaefer Door Company 9 o'clock hour. The Plowhawks on the ones and twos. Jackson Burkett is in the Horton Watkins studios. Ken Strode is enjoying tobacco. And we are about to enjoy Jeremy Rutherford, presented by this fine gentleman, Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies, for his final tour of duty in the 2024 campaign. Doug, It comes to a conclusion tonight.
Okay.
On the calendar.
Been a long season. Yeah. Just wanted one playoff series.
I know.
At least. Just one would have been
was.
Nice.
That's where I was.
Not happening.
I was hopeful. JR, is JR with us?
Yeah.
JR, good morning.
Yeah, hey, morning. Yeah, no, the fans are on the YouTube are going to be excited that the segment is over for the season.
No, they're not.
Oh,
they love having they love having you.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to hear the nods.
Yeah, that's all okay. It was. You can text in two-parters for JR, the farewell edition, 314-881-TMA-5. Great story on The Athletic that you can read. Jeremy Rutherford breaking down the coaching candidates. Doug, I know you were vacationing in the Hamptons, but Drew Bannister spoke a few days ago, and it certainly sounded like somebody who knows he's not getting the job. And so then that leads to the question, who will become the Blues' new head coach? And JR, you broke down a number of different candidates, and let's start with the one that has the highest Q rating.
Oh, I see what you did there.
The local TV's still in me. And that is Joel Quenneville. Would you consider him the front runner?
I don't know that I'd consider him the front runner, but let's break this down. And I definitely think that he's a name that's in the mix, and I do think that there's some interest. But the way I see it is this: you know, we heard the sound bites from Drew Bannister, and I think a few of us drew that same conclusion. He sounded like a guy who was reflecting and had maybe known that the end was coming. However, you look at the situation like this. He's going to be with Doug Armstrong at the front desk tomorrow when they speak to the media out at Centene. And they are not, I don't think, committing to Drew Bannister for the future. So what that tells me is that they still have some candidates in mind that they're waiting to hear answers from. And so they're not ready to commit to Drew Bannister. However, I still think Bannister is in the mix. Could that be because if they don't get the candidates that they want to go after, then they stick with Bannister for the foreseeable future and go that path? You know, it could be. But the two guys who I think have a shot at the job are Joel Quenneville, if and when he gets reinstated by Commissioner Gary Bettman, and David Carl, the Denver University coach, just won his second national championship in the last 3 years, Frozen Four NCAA national championship, is a young guy, 34 years old, who's had a ton of success at Denver and is considered an up-and-coming NHL general manager. So I'd put Quenneville, I'd put Carl on that list, and I think Bannister's still in the mix.
Carl's got a pretty good situation there, and as a guy that's coming up, is there a real compelling reason beyond just wanting to get an NHL job that he would come to a team that is in such a retool, rebuild, reset mode? Why would he come here?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I think at the end of the day, he may not come here. Maybe he thinks that that day will come where he can have that desire to take an NHL job. You're right. He's got an amazing setup, as we mentioned, you know, two championships in the last 3 years. He's been there 6 years, had a ton of success. He played hockey there. He graduated there. Here's a guy who's got it set up in Denver and only 34 years old. So he's got a long road ahead of him. And you know, if he wants to make that jump to the NHL, it could come. You know, without knowing any of their particulars behind the scenes, what he's thinking, I just think that that's part of the reason why the Blues are kind of in a fluid situation with their coaching, perhaps waiting for an answer from David Carl, perhaps waiting for Gary Bettman to rule on Joel Quenneville. Yeah. And in the meantime, they've got to hold their end-of-the-year press conferences.
Wouldn't he come here to make a couple million a year as a coach? I assume he's not making that in college hockey.
Yeah, no, I don't know how much a guy, you know, 34 years old could step in the league and command in terms of a coach. I mean, the Craig Berubes were coming in at $2 million. I think he got $3 million on his last Blues deal. So, I mean, you're in the neighborhood, and if you've got the leverage, you're at Denver and you're in a great situation, and they're the ones asking you to take the jump to the NHL, like I said, you'd have some leverage there. But not knowing what he makes at Denver and what that difference is, I'm sure money would come into play there, Duggar. But, you know, I think he's probably going to make the decision based on how comfortable he's got it, how much he wants to be at Denver.
In the article, you referenced some other potential coaches. Any of those guys, again, going back to where the Blues are, in your mind, set up well that could help accelerate a turnaround?
You know, there's a lot of experience among those names that I mentioned, the Gerard Gallants. You have Dean Evason from Minnesota. You have Todd McClellan, most recently, from L.A. I don't know that any of those guys could accelerate winning here in St. Louis, because I think ultimately it's going to still come down to the roster. And that's why I think that if you've identified a couple guys, let's say, you know, we're on the right path here with Quenneville, with Carl, if you want those guys, and for whatever reason they can't come for the circumstances we just mentioned, I don't know that I go to a Gallant or an Evason and just think that I'm going to be that much more competitive. At that point, why not stick with Bannister, who's had some success here the second half of the year, unless there's other issues that we're unaware of behind the scenes that they don't want to go that direction. But at that point, if you're in this rebuilding stage and you've had some success with the guy who's, you know, related to these guys and gotten a little bit more out of Kyrou the second half and some of the other players, Robert Thomas has had a great year, then I just don't understand why you wouldn't stick with Bannister at that point.
Jeremy Rutherford with us, taking your two-part questions here. He is presented to you by Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies. Call Mark, 314-889-0503, or go online at evergreenstl.com. And, Doug, when you call Mark, you feel better about the world when you get done with the call. What are you doing with that?
You know, I just try to listen to where people are and let them know the things that they're doing right, because most of us are doing some things right, and then try to give them an idea about how they can build on it.
How about
it's
that,
as simple
Doug?
As that.
Do you hypnotize people with your melodious pipes?
And I try to sparkle those baby blues at them when
oh,
I can.
Oh, Bill. Oh, gosh. Bill.
Ooh. Even when the stock market takes a hit like it has the last couple
uh-oh,
of weeks?
Uh-oh. I'd rather talk about being naughty than the stock
market. Oh, it's down like 2,000 points.
Hey, Mark, I got a question for you. What do you do when you have a client come in and they're explaining a financial situation and maybe they tell you, you know, something, they just went out and purchased a boat when they had no business.
Ooh, good
purchasing
investment.
A boat. Like, how do you keep a straight face? How do you reply to that? How do you stay a professional?
Practice. Years and years of practice. Sometimes people make decisions. Some people decide some things. Some people don't decide other things.
Oh, really?
And I can't explain it. So if you can afford a boat and also do all of these other things, and a boat is that important for you, by all means.
How about that?
But at the same time, sometimes it's better not to get too far out over your skis. It can really be hard to dig out of that hole.
I suppose there's a fine line between telling people how to be smart with their money and having them enjoy their life at the same time.
That's what I feel like this gentleman navigates quite well.
I actually really focus on that. And honestly, a lot of it is just how I think about it myself. Everybody's got to spend money. Everybody's got to do things today to enjoy life, or else what's the point of this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
But then also, let's not do things so much today that sets us up badly for the future. How do you mix the two together? And so I approach that myself, and so why wouldn't I approach that with the other person as well?
Right. And this is why you've suggested investing in the Sibian market? Was that what you were saying?
Used, refurbished.
Hey, speaking of advice, I got a question for the TMA crew here, too.
Oh, wow, we're taking questions.
Well, before we get to the two-parters, I'm taking a risk here. I'm hoping that my new dietitian does not listen to TMA. So I slid by the local McDonald's here to grab a breakfast sandwich.
Bad first move.
Smart.
I was talking about, see how you keep a straight face if you're the dietitian. Don't do that, Jeremy. But was looking at the steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Looked pretty tasty. Ordered it. They said, you want the steak, egg, and cheese bagel? I said, yes. And I went through the lane, and they handed me a sandwich. I came out here in the parking lot to talk to you guys and find out that it's a sausage, egg, and cheese bagel.
What do I do
in this situation?
Eat it and run.
Yeah, nothing. You go back and complain.
Coming. Absolutely.
You don't know what's going to be on that bagel.
Yeah, like the second go-around, never a good
idea. Slam on the counter.
Shrubs.
Yeah, just deal with
shrubs
it.
Shrubs by the dozen.
You made a bad decision going there in the first place. You made your bed, now lie in it.
I feel like being my dietitian is like being Lindsay Lohan's lawyer or something.
JR, they're coming in. They're fast and they're furious. Harrison's brother, Master, says, greetings, JR. Serious question. Are people really acting like Jordan Kyrou is still a building block after his last 10 others or so games? He did the exact same thing late last year. He is a fraud. He will never get it. That's from Harrison's brother, Master.
Well, I don't know what to say in this situation because I see what everybody else sees in terms of the inconsistencies throughout the season. That said, scoring ability, speed, things you need in today's game. And if you're the Blues, when you give them a big contract like that, you just hope it's going to click. So I can understand people are saying that he's piling the stats on at the end of the year. And, you know, most of it is for naught here. But, you know, if the Blues can't find a trade, if they're even willing to trade Jordan Kyrou at this point, then they're going to have to live with what we all see at certain points and just hope that the production continues to be there.
My assessment on him, and see if you agree with this, I think he'd be a really good player on a really good team.
I agree 100%.
He could be a third-line guy, put him on the power play. Don't expect him to be a two-way player because he just isn't, but he might put up big numbers on a really good team.
Tyler.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I think if he's a guy who's not counted on as he's got to deliver every night, but the problem with that is two things. One, you can't pay a guy $8 million to play on your third line. And then two, most third lines are not necessarily checking lines today's day and age. You know, you want some scoring from them, but you still need them to be responsible defensively. And we don't see that. So he almost has to be a top line player given the money and what he can do. It's just that you probably need two or three guys around him who you can count on night in and night out.
You could slot him in a place like Edmonton behind McDavid and Draisaitl, slot him next to those guys in Colorado, and he would, Doug, you're right, he'd have 50 goals. And
he'd be 100 points, Mark.
Of course, for what they're paying those other guys, you might have trouble getting him under the salary cap.
Speaking of which, we're getting questions about the Blues flexibility this offseason with regard to the cap. I realize that there's a chicken and egg discussion, though, because that would include who they would be able to move. So therefore, let me edit on the fly and say, who do you think is most likely to move of a higher profile player, JR, and then what flexibility and what direction they would go?
Well, yeah, I think that's the big thing, the chicken and egg thing. Like, how much money do you have? Well, it depends on who you can move out. Like, let's say you can move out Torrey Krug, for example, you know, $6.5 million off the books. You know, I think the Blues could have $10 million plus in salary cap space. But the other chicken and egg thing here, too, is, you know, are they going to spend to the cap? And I don't know that they are. The Blues chairman, Tom Stimm, was on with Alex Ferrario a couple days ago on the broadcast and said that they're still going to go into next year as, you know, counting on the draft and development philosophy. So we'll hear what Doug Armstrong says tomorrow out at Centene. I'm sure that he still wants to be competitive next year. But when he says competitive, I don't think that means going out and spending, you know, that $10 or $14 million that they're going to have, even if they're able to move guys like Krug. So, you know, who are the bigger names that they could? I mean, you look at that top four defense, they're certainly not going to move Parayko, I don't think. I think Nick Leddy had a good year. Justin Falk was banged up, didn't play well. You know, so it could be Krug, Falk, and then up front, I don't know, can you move some of those guys with the long-term contracts like a Braden Schenn? I don't think they're looking to do that, even if it were, you got to wonder if it's possible even. And then Brandon Saad, pretty good year. So I think they're just going to continue to go in the direction they are, except for they're going to have to move out a couple of those big contracts if they can.
Any other dark horse potential trade? Everybody's going to be watching some of those potential Kyrous, but anybody else that could be likely that we're not paying attention to right now?
Well, I'm not on that train of people who are talking about trading Jordan Binnington. I think that he's most likely going to be here. There are a number of goalies out there, Allmark, Gibson, those guys, you know, so are you going to get the return that you think you're going to get if you traded Jordan Binnington? You know, from a perspective of you could be lower down in the standings with just Joel Hofer, and then who knows who you bring in as the backup. That gets you a higher draft pick. You know, maybe you're taking a step back. I can understand that philosophy, but I just don't know where trading Jordan Binnington gets you. If you want to be competitive and you want to get back into this thing in the next couple of years, he's definitely going to be the backbone of that. So you say dark horse trade. I don't want to say that, you know, hey, he's a dark horse. That's going to be a 20% chance that's going to happen. I'm just saying if you're looking for something outside of the norm, you know, that could be a possibility.
Final question for you here, JR. And this is a good all-encompassing one, and I wonder what your perspective is on this. You made reference to Tom Stillman. JR, it used to be reported that the Blues needed playoff revenue to be okay financially. Can they afford another middling season, or do they need to make a splash and get back in ASAP? Stay cute. That comes from Jackson's favorite texter, Doug. That's Don Hoffman.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is legitimate. It's a situation where, you know, I don't think that the Blues could go 3, 4, 5 years with missing the playoffs, and I think that's what led to their decision, Tim, to stay competitive, try to make the playoffs, and not go through that, you know, knock it down to the studs type of rebuild. You know, the numbers that I've heard, I'm sure you've heard them over the years, it's about $1.5 million in revenue per home game. Now, look at what the chances were this year of getting past the first round, probably not that great. So, you know, did you get swept? Are you just looking at 2 home games? Are you looking at $3 million? I mean, I think that can help, but I don't think it's going to be make or break for the organization. And I think the quicker they can get this thing turned around and get these younger guys in here and making an impact and then making a long run of playoff trips, that money is going to be more worthwhile in the big picture than perhaps the few million dollars they could lose by making the playoffs and just playing a round or so.
There he is, Jeremy Rutherford. Doug, we thank him for his service during the 2023-2024 season.
He had a good season for staying cute.
Yeah, you did stay cute throughout. Yeah. I noticed that.
Svelte.
Yeah, and I did the interview. You guys couldn't even tell that I was eating a sausage bagel here.
Oh, gosh. I clipped that off. I like that. Yeah, I think it's hot. JR, thank you so much. Fine, sir.
Yeah, thanks all season, guys. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it, Mark, for everything you've done for us.
Can't ever read all the strategies.
It's been fun getting to know you, and now I'm going to head out and go buy that boat I can't afford.
Yep, you got to do it. Nice. That's the right thing to do.
Thanks for the advice.
Thanks,
all right, thanks, JR.
Thanks, JR. This is presented all season by Mark Hanna, Evergreen Wealth Strategies, the fabulous head of hair.
Yeah. Your hair is fabulous.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
You don't ever lose a follicle, do you?
I'm getting shorn tomorrow.
You're shorn. I like that.
We're going to scale this thing back.
Well,
I lose track and just kind of goes wild.
There's rumblings of me going to get Doug's procedure. And the next thing is, could I have what you have? I don't think I could. I don't think they could
do. Yes, you could.
You think they could
do? Look what they did to mine.
Yeah, but look at Mark. It's El Nashra. Look at that. It's El Nashra.
Yeah, but don't knock that. I mean, that's quality of work by a quality sponsor.
It continues to come in thicker.
Is that right?
Thicker, yes.
It's like a thicket?
It's like a very much in thicket-like.
Is it going to get out of control?
Yeah.
It might.
Too many tufts?
They said it's a year before you really know exactly all that's growing in, so I still got tufts coming in. I'm not only the mayor of Tuft Town, I could be the governor of Miss Harry. Ah!
You like that?
He's a pro.
He's a pro's pro. Mark, thank you for your sponsorship throughout the season as well.
It's fun.
Great, Jeremy Rutherford. Doug, that's Mark Hannity.
Well, thank you, Hansy.
Thanks, guys.
889-0503 or go online at evergreenstl.com. He's a wonderful gentleman. He's got wonderful tufts himself.
Yeah, the tufts.
The voice, the baby blues, he winks at you. It's a whole thing
whole
that he's
package.
Got going on. That's Mark Hanna, Evergreen Wealth Strategies here in our Schaefer Door Company, 9 o'clock hour. Doug, why don't you tell people about Schaefer Door Company?
Yes, the garage door goes down, the garage door goes up. Wait a minute, it's not going up. What'll you do? What will you do? Well, you call Schaefer Door Company.
Go ahead. Yeah.
That's what you do. You call them at 636-782-3608. They'll get to you with the quickest response time in the business. They service all kinds of garage doors for service and new installation. You have a problem over the weekend, they've got a crew standing by early Monday morning to come out and get you taken care of. They say that's when the bulk of the problems seem to happen on the weekends, and they're ready to get you taken care of early Monday morning. They service commercial doors as well. If you run a business or a warehouse with one of those big, giant Doris Schaefer's experience in those types of jobs as well. It's family business, multiple family members working there now and have for many years, big enough to get any job done, small enough to tackle any problem you might have. You think, well, it's just a spring. Well, I've just got a small problem. Doesn't matter. Schaefer Door can handle it. Their service techs, not commission-based, so they're not going to try to sell something that you don't want. Here's the number to call again, 636-782-3608 for Schaefer Door Company, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. You go to SchaeferDoor.com or give them a call. Schaefer Door is a Clopay Master Authorized Dealer.
There you go. Schaefer Door Company is the sponsor of the 9 o'clock hour here on TMA. Mantality, a longtime sponsor of the program as well. Belly fat, feeling bloated, and a lack of lean muscle and tone that used to be easy to get rid of or maintain. Those are symptoms of low testosterone. Well, Mantality is a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone could be an issue with any guy. And even if you've tried testosterone before, not everyone understands the blood chemistry in men's bodies. Mantality can help. The normal range for testosterone is large. If you've been to a doctor and they told you that you were normal without understanding the range or testing your free testosterone, it was not fully looked at. Come get checked with Mantality. It's Mantality online at lowtusa.com. You have a few minutes to get your design, air, heating, and cooling email of the day submissions in. See if you can compete with our leader, the Grundlehorts, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. And then in about 19 minutes, Jackson and I are going to go down a hallway. It's fine. And here's why it's fine. Is today a Little Piddles Wide Berth Wednesday?
You better believe it.
So you got nothing?
If I have a Wide Berth Wednesday, how can I also have nothing?
See?
Well, it just doesn't feel like you've got things planned.
Well, what do you want? Like a overture? A musical? Some sort of sort of dance number?
Yeah, is that what you want?
Well, maybe just a solid list of topics to break down.
I mean, solid is in the eye of the beholder. I think they're pretty solid.
Okay. All right. Sorry to question it.
Icky, you got an apology in the YouTube chat. Hellcat831.
Turn his mic on.
I had it on.
It's on.
Okay.
The dichotomy of Iggy wearing a Hubbard hat. Are you wearing a Hubbard? Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Wearing a Hubbard hat while zoning out doom scrolling IG or playing a hole on Golf Rival. And then, I guess later on, wrote, holy crap, he was actually looking something up for the show. I will hashtag step down and eat my words. How about that? Hellcat831.
Yeah.
Yeah, good, because I was about to respond to the first part of it.
What were you going to say?
I was looking up the Whitey Herzog stuff with Marv Albert.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I was pulling up, before that, I was pulling up my DraftKings team.
Okay.
See, if I had a laptop, nobody'd say anything.
Do you have one?
Well, I do have one.
Why don't you bring it in?
I keep forgetting.
Was that Michael McDonald?
I think it was. Yeah, McClure.
North?
McClure North.
Stars? McClure. Iggy, what do you think, McClure?
Coming to town, yeah. Coming to town this summer with the Doobies. The original band, I think the singer, I forgot his name, who was before Michael McDonald. And actually, I think the Doobie Brothers were better before Michael McDonald joined.
Oh, take alert. No.
Wide Berth Wednesday, another topic.
Yeah, I mean, China Grove and Jesus Is Just All Right, some of those songs. But I think the singer is, that guy's back with them too. So they got like the original Doobie Brothers.
How old are these guys now?
Yeah. 70-ish. Well, all those old bands are still playing. REO Speedwagon is still playing. I think Kevin Cronin's got to be 70-something.
Never thought people would be going to see.
A few weeks I'm going to
rock bands where they're pushing 80 years old.
Yeah, a few weeks are going to see Stevie Nicks. I think she's 74.
Is she really that old?
75.
She doesn't look it, though, does she?
No, and she still sounds great. She's one of the few that can get out there and still sing, and it sounds like Stevie Nicks.
And you're going, but we haven't chosen who's going with you, right?
Well, we're 3 weeks away, 3 weeks from yesterday. Still time.
Still time for someone to enter this contest.
I mean, maybe Jesse did pick the name and already emailed the person.
Really?
I don't
know. Okay.
I'm sure she'll send us the name so we can announce it.
I think she would, yeah. Now, will you go pick up the person that won and squire them around town a little
like
bit?
That, like I don't squire. Know.
That was a hell no?
I ain't going to pick up the listener.
Don't like say that, I ain't going. Don't try to punctuate it.
I ain't picking them up.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Why won't you do that for them? They won this contest. Be a thrill for a big star like you to show up, pick them up.
If they want to meet us for a drink, they can.
Doug, Iggy ain't picking up anybody for the Stevie Nicks concert, and Rory McIlroy ain't going to LIV Golf. He was on the range yesterday at Harbortown getting his work in preparation for this week's RBC Heritage Signature event. And this is what he had to say about the reports that came from what was actually a credible publication on Monday that he is going to live for $850 million. This is with Todd Lewis of the Golf Channel.
Well, Rory, there has been some buzz in social media circles and media circles that you have been offered and contemplating a move to LIV Golf with some pretty astronomical numbers. What's your reaction?
I honestly don't know how these things get started. I've never been offered a number from LIV, and I've never contemplated going to LIV. I think I've made it clear over the past 2 years that I don't think it's something for me. Doesn't mean that I judge people that have went and played over there. I think one of the things that I've realized over the past 2 years is, you know, people can make their own decisions for, you know, whatever they think is best for themselves, and you know, who are we to judge them for that? But personally for me, you know, my future is here on the PGA Tour, and it's never been any different. Mm.
Do you have any idea of the origin of where this comes from?
No idea. I think over the last 2 years, there's been so many rumors of guys, you know, and I think, you know, you need to, you know, I think the one thing that I've realized as well is, you know, guys need to keep an open mind, and I'm sure there's been players that are still playing on the PGA Tour that have talked to, you know, the guys from LIV and had offers and whatever, I've no idea. You know, it's never even been a conversation for us, and it's one of those things. It's unfortunate that we have to deal with it, and, you know, this is the state that our game's in, and I'm obviously here to today, and I'm playing this PGA Tour event next week, and I will play the PGA Tour for the rest of my career.
Wow, how about that?
Sounds like he's about to go to LIV.
It does.
He's there tomorrow. Rom and Brooks Koepka are singing too.
Yeah, well, it all came from his ex-manager. Is it Chubby Chandler?
Chubby Checker. Fat Boys.
Yeah. I think it's Chubby Chandler.
I like the name.
He's going to go.
Yeah, I think I'm with Rory. I think I actually believe Rory. They're like.
What about Chubby Checker?
I don't know who that is, but I could see somebody making this rumor
twist.
Up.
Just Chubby Checker, do
the
fat twist.
Boys, right?
Well, Chandler.
Then there were reports after that that they're looking for Vic Hovland. They're looking at Vic Hovland as a potential LIV for this season.
Wouldn't they come after Scheffler?
Well,
he's the biggest star.
He ain't going.
He's making more money than a LIV guys.
Oh my God, he is making just about as much.
Does anybody make more money than the LIV guys?
No.
Well, depending on what you got paid to go over there. But, I mean, he's already...
Well, exactly.
His last... But, I mean, a lot of guys didn't get a ton of money to go over there. I'm sure Adrian Meronk wasn't given $100 million.
He's not the number one player in the world,
either. I think Varner the third got $40
million. HV3.
Who was it? Who was the one that Mr. Licks always brought up? The guy who got $70 million.
I don't know.
Pat Perez.
I think he's an Asian gentleman.
Is it James Hahn?
No.
The bastard?
No. Oh,
that's Seb Straka.
Kevin something.
Kevin Na.
That's
right. I remember Kevin Na. Yeah.
Walking in
he
butts.
He had disappeared off the face of the earth, but he made $70 million.
Did James Hahn go to LIV?
No, I think he's still.
Doug, yeah. Where's Hahn?
I don't know.
I almost said Hahn.
Kevin Na moves the needle on LIV, and I'm sure he's really missed on the PGA Tour. How'd you give that guy $70
million? I think he got $60 or $70 million.
The figure that was thrown around with Rory McIlroy was $850 million?
That's correct.
And who could blame him if he left for that?
Well, Tiger turned down $1 billion, almost. I thought, what was it? $1 billion, somewhere close to that.
I mean, again, these are all, and I know
just
you know
a number
this,
that's,
just
yeah.
The these are, yeah. They're just floated out. Like, the ROM number is... up to 500 million, but there are reports it was 300.
Well, then with the Rory thing, there was also a little added that he would get like an equity stake in Liv.
Oh, yeah, one
like
of the teams.
Yeah.
300, 500 million. You're still taking care
whatever.
Of, you're taking care of generations of Rom family members. Probably three or four generations will never have to work a day in their life.
Back up that truck to my Hampton residence. I'm all in, baby. Tell me what you need to do, and I'm signing on the dotted lines. 850, I don't care. You have to take that in any
The issue is he wasn't offered it.
Yeah.
You know, unless he's just flat out lying, and then he'll have that soundbite to live down. But, but after he was the spokesperson and kind of, as he said, I think he said I was the sacrificial lamb out there speaking on behalf of Monahan and the PGA Tour, and then they turn around and do a deal with Liv, or what was supposedly going to be a deal with Liv on June 6th. I wouldn't blame him at all for going, okay, screw you guys. Rom was kind of doing the same thing. I think Rom's like, okay, if this is what we're going to do, then I'm just going to go over there and make my whatever it was, hundreds of millions of dollars. Hey, I know this is a topic, and it's, but I want to make sure I get this in. It came out last night, and I would have liked to have gotten into it a little earlier, honestly. But the woman who accused, Iggy, this will get you going. Are you aware of where I'm going?
I'm not.
This is your guy, Trevor Bauer.
Okay.
A woman who accused former Major League pitcher Trevor Bauer of sexual assault has been indicted by a grand jury in Arizona on felony charges of fraudulent schemes and theft by extortion.
Good.
I don't know how to pronounce her name. Darcy Adana Asimonu. I could be wrong, Doug. Quote, knowingly did obtain a benefit from Trevor Anthony Bauer by means of fraudulent pretenses, representation, promises, or material omissions, according to an indictment dated March 19th and filed Monday in the Superior Court of Arizona in Maricopa County. She also, quote, knowingly did obtain or sought to obtain property or services by means of a threat to in the future expose a secret or an asserted fact in a social media message or in any other manner, end quote, involving another individual. According to the indictment, that individual is not associated with Bauer, his attorney told ESPN. She did not respond to messages seeking comment. The prosecutor listed on the indictment could not be reached late Tuesday night for comment either. An arraignment is scheduled for April 26th in Maricopa County. So she's been indicted.
Good. Well, you know, I mean, it's clear that all these guys have big targets on their chest. They have to be awfully careful who they run around with.
But
awfully
you
careful.
Can't get this mindset for every allegation. I think you got to take it seriously and let it run through the, you know— Right. The court of public opinion kind of ruins any of these stories because you run with it. You have news outlets that need to make their bucks and clicks. And
the ratio of the attention paid to the allegations toward Trevor Bauer versus the amount of attention paid toward the indictment for his accuser, I would say, will probably be approximately 50-1. Same thing with the Shohei Ohtani thing. This is the game. So guys who are in a position to go, I just don't want to deal with it, and I have hundreds of millions of dollars. I not to say that Bauer has hundreds of millions of dollars, but Ohtani definitely does. Just go, okay, here, take $3 million, and I just don't want to deal with it.
Does Bauer have a case?
And that's why they have the targets I made reference to.
Before we get to email, did Bauer have a case to, like, take Major League Baseball to court? Is he being blackballed? Or are they waiting for this to all end?
If he could come up with some evidence that the commissioner wrote an email to people saying, steer clear of Trevor Bauer, and it could have cost him who knows how much money on the free agent market, I mean, he would have a case. Yeah.
The people that are playing right now with the amount of second chances, Roldan Chapman, there's a bunch of guys out there that have allegations or situations like this that have gone on to teams and played. And
Like I said, bad hosting. Right. I didn't bring it up till 9:49, but I wanted to make sure I got that in there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Design Air Heating and Cooling Email of the Day! Grundlehort's leading, but I don't see a Grundlehort email in the filtered file. Jackson, am I correct?
No email was sent by either Grundlehort.
Tilly or Gus.
Nothing from him.
Today's Tim look is one of my faves. Scruffy, extenuating his rugged handsomeness. But this email is about cavities. Anal cavities.
No.
The Cardinals had just sent Simba to Milwaukee and the town was abuzz. Nowadays, it's an emo's. But back in 1980, the corner of Old Sappington and Watson was a Steak and Shake Junior, smack dab across the street from the Ultra Mall. And it was Golden Griffin turf. So when that Kirkwood High badminton traveling team came rolling in, we all knew there was going to be trouble. We all paired off, and I was squared off with some khaki dude. Nerd alert, because the dude was wearing a pocket protector. It was obvious he had some training because he immediately got into his Kokusu Daki?
What now?
Kokusu Daki? Daki?
We're probably cussing on air. We don't know.
A backstance in layman's term. Layman's terms. But then the dynamics completely changed. He ripped off his shirt, exposing his man hammers for all to see. It mesmerized the entire restaurant, quieting the crowd. He proceeded to lick his pointer fingers and encircled his pepperoni-sized nerves. Then said, lick 'em.
Oh.
And lick 'em clean I did. With that, he pulled down me drawers and started with some pinky play.
No.
When he saw I wasn't exactly impressed, he took it up a notch and gave me the five-finger grenade, rewarding him with my prostate gland-induced ghost load.
Okay, that's enough. You don't say ghost load on this show.
That's from a lady, though. Her name's Sharon, and then her last name's Head.
Sharon Hiad just got herself suspended, suspended a period of 2 days' time. Her name, right now, is going into the Illinois Recovery Center suspension logbook. She could use some recovery. She'll find it at IllinoisRecoveryCenter.com.
It's so, so good to have Doug back from his Salt Life trip. You went on a Salt Life trip?
Felt like it, yeah.
To the coast. But I feel like we skipped over the part where Mr. Strode wipes his mouth with his sleeve after every sip of water that he takes right into the microphone. Doug, Iggy's sleeve's been accused of being a napkin as of late.
Can you get a napkin or something to do that?
I just use my sleeve.
But that's not classy.
I don't care.
On the second segment of the September 8th show, he stated that when he returns from, quote, work, he just hangs his three-quarter zip right back up in the closet since he only wears them for a few hours. But more disturbing was yesterday when Mr. Strode held off for 8 full minutes before he shared that he finally got to see the boobies of Princess Fierce Adbot when her OnlyFans leak somehow popped up on his Spank Station laptop. This was the second most cringy event of the week, as he had already asked Plowsy on the air to send him the Maitland Dirty Talk audio because it had him feeling extra randy and he wanted to use it. Does Plowsy get an assist? That's from Shooter McGavin, the third vice president of Beta Male Boot Camp, but they will probably find somebody better.
Shooter McGavin, third vice president.
TMA Reddit makes the old-fashioned fan page look like a Mensa meeting. It's like the eclipse. Looking at it for just a few seconds can burn your eyeballs forever. Topics include the following. TMA sucks. Iggy sucks. I'm never listening again. Plowsy sucks. Tim sucks. And he has a gambling problem. And the truly baffling Doug needs to pay attention more.
that was a recent one, by the way. So if you do join it, it's a couple pence down.
Not paying attention.
First of all, keep Doug's name out your damn mouth.
Oh.
He is our beautiful angel. Secondly, taste me. The general vibe of TMA Reddit is that this show is not good. Newsflash, guys, we've known that for 2 decades. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
What more could you reasonably expect from a bunch of dumbasses without a plan who talk to themselves in a janitor's closet? It's a perfect fit because we listeners are dumbasses, too. We like it because they talk about fictional strippers named Bambi Sapphire and putt-putt golf tournaments that will never happen. After I discovered TMA Reddit this morning, I naturally started thinking of other odd things on the internet and found the second most baffling social media group ever, the Balloon Party fan page. The weirdest part about that Facebook group is the description, which reads, and I quote, we are the Patriots. We love children and communities. If you love yourself in America, come on in, end quote. Yikes, I don't know what they mean.
Sounds like a nice group.
We love children and communities, but I don't think I want to find out. Doug, that's from the JV golf coach.
JV golf coach.
Morning, guys. Just checking in to see if it's too late to enter to win the date with Iggy to the Stevie Nicks concert. That's from If Young Pop-Pop Don't Trust You, I'ma Shoot You. Blueberry Pop-Pop? But nice. We found out Blueberry Pop-Pop's Chairman Kurt.
We sure did. Blueberry Pop-Pop is back. Hello, Kurt.
No reaction.
Yeah,
I guess he's eligible.
I guess so.
Even as a full-time employee.
Ours is the type of presentation where the board op feels free to drop in at any time and berate the audience for complaining about the skeleton of reruns that play during the 153 hours of the week when the show is not live on the air, sometimes mocking the audience with a whiny, high-pitched voice reminiscent of Cartman from South Park. Oh, there's a handful of sads throwing shade anonymously on a subreddit that the vast majority of the listening audience was completely aware of until I brought it up. Well, let me show them how much I don't care by getting involved in the comments and going in on an unhinged rant live on the air. Boom, roasted. Plowsy is a lock for Lister of the Month now that we're warning to people who work on the show. It is true. Blueberry Pop-Pop won, and now Blueberry Pop-Pop's Lister of the Month.
Didn't accept.
Doug, next month could be your month.
It could be, yeah.
You know, I need to get something off my chest. The other day, I took a cockeyed, blurry boomer selfie of my TV and tweeted the photo at Tiger Woods, then accused the official PGA Tour Twitter of poaching my photo without credit. Everybody had a good laugh and probably thought my angst was a sketch or a bit. But I'm here today, hat in hand, to apologize to the PGA Tour Twitter. After one of the replies pointed out Tiger's head was turned in a different direction and his legs were crossed in one photo but not the other, I have to admit it's not the same photo, revealing that it wasn't a bit, and I really did believe that at PGA Tour with its 2.9 million followers poached my photo, cropping out my DVD VHS combo instead of just pausing the feed and posting
that.
Their own screenshot. Okay, gotta go and tell Jesse about my idea to set up a putt-putt course in the office here. That's from Buck Swope, and that's what we have!
Buck Swope, nice.
Design Air Heating and Cooling, email the day, what you got.
I think it's between the JV golf coach and Buck Swope, but since Swope had been called on to do some work here and came through, I'll vote for Buck Swope.
Yeah, I probably should because he did help me out with the Rose McGowan, but I kind of like sharing heads.
Sharon Head.
Jesus.
Buck Swope, congratulations. Oh. You've won the Design Air Heating and Cooling email of the day, and I think tied yourself up with the Grundlehorts. I think. Jackson, is that correct?
One shy of the Grundlehorts.
Oh, one shy of the Grundlehorts.
And JV, still trying to make that up.
JV Golf Coach might have gotten robbed there.
JV Golf Coach was very good. You're right.
Had a couple really good lines.
Yeah, it was legit. It was legit, yeah. But it's 10 o'clock and I got to go. So okay. that may have played a role. But Buck Swope was very good. Don't get me wrong.
Sure,
time for us to shut it down. For the plug, for Action Jacks, for Kenneth Hicks, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been TMA presented to you by Brown and Crouppen.